看我的文。Does anyone else like to claim? I know I've got at least one person who will claim a ball. Anyone else been reaching out? Something they've done?
Yes, sir.
If you'd like to come out and do that, if you'd like to tell us about it, feel free.
Really quickly, it always makes me smile because it's amazing how many times people knock on your door and there's an opportunity. And I've had this happen to me a number of times, but yesterday a couple of young women who lived in London, they were door knocking for the RAF Association, which helps the charity that helps the injured and the families. So I welcome them in after a little bit of a chat, and we just they asked me what I did as a job. So as you, most of you know, I actually work for the church, which is always a good opening line. And they wanted to know a little bit more about that. And actually, just by chatting with them, it wasn't anything, come on, you've got to give your life to Jesus right now. But just chatting with them, as they left, they said, where is this church again? So I was actually able to give them some information about where they can come and meet us at some point in time. So that was a great opportunity.
Last week we spoke about the classroom chap that I work with. So a little update for him. And he said, I've been doing what you told me to do every morning. He said, and I always get out of bed and say, thank you, God. Please don't have some more work today. He hasn't stopped work since. So he's very happy. And he also does suffer a bit from depression, but he said, I've never felt so happy.
Yes.
So that was really good news for him. A few weeks ago, I was working on a sort of building site, and I was working with three or four other guys. A funny story. And they were all sitting arguing about life insurance. So I'm sitting there watching this and listening to what they're saying. So there they are. One said, life insurance, how expensive is that now? He said, you know, they're going on arguing about how, what they pay out and everything else. So I then butted in at some point and said, life insurance, that's for people you leave behind, isn't it? So I said, they benefit for what you leave behind. What about your afterlife insurance? They went, what? What do you mean afterlife insurance? I said, well, you need a bit of afterlife insurance, don't you? I mean, because otherwise, you know, you don't know where you're going to go. So they said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, let me put it this way. When you die and they put you in your box, your family get the rake off. Where do you go? Where are you headed? Where are you going? Where are you going to get to? Do you know where you're going to go when you get into that box? In that box? And they all looked like, sort of, what? I said, well, you've got a choice. You can go to the dark side, or you can go and you can, you know, spend your time in heaven for eternity with Jesus. So anyway, we've got a big debate going about, so I let them sort of work it all out and stuff. And these are big old lads, you know. What do you mean that, so if I die, I've got a, it's, how do I get to know this Jesus then? He said, because I do go to church now and again. I said, yeah, it doesn't work like that. I said, it's to do with here. It's knowing him personally here. It's not about going to church. It's not about running around and sort of doing everything. Like, you know, it's very good and it's wonderful that people do that. But I said, the real key thing is that every morning when you wake up, you say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's all you've got to do. And help me today. Be part of my life today. And I'll tell you what, your life will change. So they're all sort of thinking about it. I said, and I want to tell you this story. And Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So they're all now looking at me like that. Yeah. What happened with that sand pit over there? I said, we can always ask. I said, we're going to shut. Anyway, so my life is based on that one. I mean, there's lots in the Bible, and I love the Bible, and I just love Jesus so much, and he's done so much for me in the last year. Specifically in the last year for me, my daughter. Now he's brought a lovely girl into my life, Denise. And it's just, everything is starting to come together. And a bit of self-promotion. I've just started another business as well, apart from the building. I'm doing laying AstroTurf now, which is brilliant, by the way, if you want a new lawn. So I'm not allowed to advertise at church about the BBC and the anyway, I appreciate that. But do you know what? God has been fantastic. He's just opened so many doors. I could tell you so many different things. Because I've got no fear. And I don't worry about what their reaction is going to be. I love it. Because I've been caught. I'm bringing it on. It's a lovely place to be because... You know, I wake up every morning and I just see God doing so many amazing things. And one of the things I've said to people before is, if you have that faith, that little mustard seed of faith, you can move anything in your life. And when you've got two people agreeing, it makes it even more powerful. And we've got an opportunity to reach out to people like we do. I do my best to every time. I don't always get it right, and I always sometimes get a smack in the ear. But it's just one of those lovely things that we've got this opportunity to tell people that are desperate. And most people go, well, builders. But they are probably as desperate and poor and the needy. And that's what Jesus came for. He came for these people, the poor, the needy, the sick, those people. Not the ones that seem to be doing all right. But I really, you know, encourage you all. When you hear an opportunity to say something, I always come up with a funny line, me, but I mean, everybody's got their own way. But when you get that opportunity, give it to them, because you're talking to their spirit, not their body. And I praise God, and I thank you all for listening. But...
So I want to come up now, because I'm kind of the opposite end of the spectrum for that. Because somebody's going to be sat there thinking, it's all right for him. And I have to say, I was greatly challenged by what Jonathan said, 2 weeks ago or so. And actually, there's been a couple of opportunities I've had, nothing like that. I have to say, I stand in awe. Brilliant. Great story. But a couple of opportunities. One occasion, it was to do with going to the Cap Money course. I was talking with a client, and she said, I said, I've got to go now. I said, because I'm doing a presentation this evening. She said, oh, what's it all about? Actually, it wasn't me at all. It was Liz, and I was just sort of watching on. So I just got an opportunity to share with her about Christians Against Poverty, which then led into all sorts of other things. So very, very simple. But the second one, and this sort of kind of dropped into my lap, and by the way, I'm going to drop it into your lap because I promised something as a result, was I was sat together with a client this week, and she was explaining that she was going to be out of the picture a little bit over the course of the next few weeks because her son-in-law is desperately sick with cancer, and she's going down there to help her daughter look after her husband. And she made a chance remark. She said, you know, the doctors have written him off, but I do believe in miracles. So I said, you believe in miracles? I said, that's interesting. I said, because the church that I belong to, I said, we believe in miracles too. I said, we've been praying for all sorts of people and seen some real miracles. I said, would you like me to ask them to pray for you? So you see, dead simple. And you might say, well, he's a bit of a coward there, because you could have prayed for her right there and then. But I actually volunteered you lot. And she said, yeah, please, I'd really appreciate that. Now, she's down with that family right now. So what I'd like to ask, would you mind?
Yeah.
Would you pray with me? His name's Dan. Her name's Patty. And Father God.
Yeah.
Father God, Lord, I just thank you for these opportunities to touch people's lives.
Yeah, that's right.
And Lord, in this particular case, I just ask for Dan. The doctors seem to have given up on him, Lord, but you never give up on us. You never run out on us. And Lord, by Patty's own confession, she believes in miracles. And so, Father God, reach out to you now and ask that you would bless that family with a miracle. Lord, you turn this situation around and you cause hope to spring up where apparently there is none. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Let's pray that comes to pass. Right, okay. Any more? Yes.
Yeah, well, I'd like to thank the Lord for the opportunity I had to do a week summer project with Ichthus Church in London, and we had teaching in the morning, and then we went out on the streets evangelism with our church group that we've been allocated to in the afternoon. And you know, I was encouraged by the week before we'd had Riverfest, and the main encouragement for me there was that fear of stepping out and witnessing will always be there, but we can choose courage or cowardice. And I thought, yeah, this is an ideal opportunity for me to. And it was a really great week. You know, we spoke to a lot of people in shopping malls and out on the streets. We gave our testimony out on the streets at bus stops, that sort of thing. It was really, really great. And I made up my mind that when I got back, I would tell somebody every day that Jesus loved them. He's given me the opportunity to do that. Thursday last week, something like that, I went out into the Maidenhead Nicholson's Walk while Graham had an interview, and some people weren't receptive, but others were. And I met one guy called Dion, who he said, "I've been given another chance by the Lord, and I'm going to take it." And I told him he said he didn't think he'd make it this week, but he might make it 2 weeks' time, because I told him there was no meeting yet. So I'd just like to thank God for the opportunities he's given me.
Out of interest, how many people?
Just want to thank everyone who prayed for me at the Riverfest, because I had pain in my shoulder, and I had pain in this wrist. Now they are gone. Mm-hmm. I have pain in this one, in this wrist. That's strange, isn't it? So I was like, I healed this one and this one, and now it's this one painful and this one. So, okay. I have to pray again. And I don't know if I really should say that, but a friend of mine that eventually came to the church, she had an accident Friday night, and it was a really bad, bad accident. But thanks God, she's escaped with just a little injury on her finger, and her car is written off. The fire workers, the police, the ambulance were standing and looking at the car and looking at her, and were like, "How did that happen?" And I was saying to her, "That was God cushioning you." When I saw the pictures of her car, so basically her car went in the air, speed, go down, you know, and she was out like a bird. It was amazing. And, you know, I encouraged her to come to church, and she was like, "No, I'm going to cry all day." I said, "Well, that's good, because you know. So, yeah. It's really amazing.
Any of our prayers just like to gather around? We don't want to see any pains coming back. Yeah. Oh, Vince, you're handy.
Right.
No, see, do it out there. Do it out there. Just a few of you around her. Just pray for those things to be healed. Right, and say you found me. While you're considering your position, you going to come back?
Oh, it was just amazing out there. We had such a great time. Brilliant. Wonderful. We've been learning over the last few weeks about always leaving people with a good encounter of the Holy Spirit. And one lady came and I said, "Oh, do you know River Church?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Got such good memories of holiday week. Years ago she'd come." She said, "I remember the Bible stories and the wonderful songs." Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? And then, the lady, a friend of ours from Larchfield Recharge. She'd been around quite a long time. And she came up, we had a chat, and I said, "Oh, would you like some prayer?" "Oh, yes, please." And she wandered into the tent and sat down. And I thought, yeah, from Larchfield, we've just encouraged people to come and, you know, be prayed for. And she's been sort of drip-fed this over the years, and she just accepts it, and it's sort of normal. "Oh, yeah, I'll go." And sort of sits down and has prayer. So that was just two really encouraging stories. Thank you.
Just like Fiona's saying, it was so easy. That's what, if anything, surprised me. We quite blatantly saying what we were doing, and we weren't. We learned at the weekend away, they were saying the times have changed, and spiritually people are much more open and more ready. And there is a real spiritual language. There are people coming forward, "Yeah, I'm spiritual." You know, there's that kind of allowance for that stance. And it's just a springboard you can work from. And we had 50 plus people coming, a couple of significant ones that touched me. There was an Asian lady who was a single mum with three children, which was similar to me, so I couldn't get alongside her. And she chose a picture of the statue of Jesus at Rio with lightning hitting it, just because it was the power of God for her. And we prayed that into her life, and it did surprise me, the pictures people took. And there was another young family that came, a lovely lady and her daughter and her new partner, this lady, and they just kind of had a go at everything. They went, "Oh yeah, we'll play the game with the photos, and we'll take a stone, and we'll take a verse." People are so ready to hear it, and it wasn't difficult. It really was. It was very exciting, actually. Yesterday, just anybody that came forward was... There was a couple of people, when you said the word church, kind of walked away. The majority of people didn't. They just wanted more, really. So, thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You got a fan club already. Excellent.
It was really amazing yesterday because the reception was really, really good. Everybody was very receptive. What I saw yesterday, a lot of people crying when you give them a prophetic word, when the Holy Spirit begins to tell them about themselves, about what they're going through. And one thing I also noticed, people out there are really hurting, and there's no soothing. Like, they have other processes that they do out there, like healing procedures. They need the Holy Spirit. I could literally see in the spirit what we really have, how the Holy Spirit actually heals us and soothes our soul. And I just want to encourage us that we shouldn't take it for granted. Reach out to people, just pray and just release the Holy Spirit. Lots of people were crying, grown women were just pray for me, I need healing. You know, just standing there and a simple prayer, you just holding your hands. And they're just weeping and just receiving this woman who said she was a healer. I don't know what kind of healing she does, but she was really open for healing. She said she needed healing, she was in pain, she needed release from that pain. And I'm thinking, this is a healer also needing healing from the superior healer. It was just amazing to be part of that.
Thank you. You've come to share on your specialist subject at the moment.
There was a couple that really struck me, but the man in particular, he selected a picture that was actually an x-ray of Belinda's daughter's knee. And I just thought it was incredible that he'd pick that, but Belinda had already thought that whoever took that, it was to do with the repair being stronger than the actual knee, and that really spoke to him. But I just want to encourage people who are like me, because I watch other people, like Belinda, and it's very natural for them to do all of this. I find it really hard, because I'm very quiet. So I was more in the background, but it was easier than I thought it was going to be. And even if you're like me, you can still do it, is what I want to say. Because it's not natural for me, but it was easy. People are ready.
So, those of you have heard my stories over the last couple of years of how God has been blessing my family financially. And there's a little bit of a backstory that it's still very hard financially. And we've just moved house. We've downsized to try and save money to keep Mike's business going so that he's right on the cusp of things. And thank you for those of you, and there's quite a few of you who are praying for that. But in moving, we've moved to Hollyport, which is just such a lovely place. But my husband was really not happy about it. Didn't want to move there. Wasn't going to talk to any of the neighbours because we're not going to be there long enough. We're not going to set down any roofs. But I'm praying actually that we would make a home there and that we would settle in. Within the first few days, he'd met everybody on the street. He knew who lived at number 12. He knew who lives at number 7. There's several Asian families there. My husband is self-confessed a racist. And he is talking to these families and saying, "They're really nice." "Really? Of course they are. Because they're people." And his attitude and his mindset is shifting. And that is kind of one of the things that I prayed for, that in the move, which is not what he wanted, it's not really what I would have wanted, but that good things would come out of it. I'm seeing that already, so thank you, Jesus, for answering those prayers. And for those of you who do know Mike, he is an evangelist, he just doesn't have a clue that he is yet. But things are still really tough financially, and in the last couple of weeks I was saying, Jesus, I just need another check in the post. We haven't had a check in the post for a while. Mike got a call from the letting agent at our old house to say, "There's a letter here for you, but it's addressed to his business, not to him," so it didn't get redirected to us. So he went and collected it, and it was a cheque for £870. Yeah. It was totally unexpected. It's from the VAT man. He hasn't actually completed a VAT return, so he doesn't quite know why he's got it, which slightly worries me. But no, I'm trusting. I'm actually trusting that is an answer to prayer. So I just want to, the glory to God on how he has helped our family financially. I just have to keep giving it.
Scott in the band playing yesterday. Really good. We haven't had a watch.
Thank you, that was a great privilege. I've got six in the band. My son was playing lead guitar for me. Andy Swift, the tall one, not the surfer, that used to be in the worship band. He's now worship leader. St. Peter's was playing. Roger Flavelle at Marlow. Harriet from the was guest vocaling for us. Paul Shrimpton on kit. So it was a really good event that six Christians were standing up and just providing a lot of sort of secular music as well as some Christian content. What I want to say is, and please let's have a show of hands and be honest, who here really feels a call that God is saying you should speak or you should step out or you should evangelise in some way? Who's feeling a kind of pressure for that? Okay. Of those people who find it hard to know where to start. Yeah. I think what I would say is, look what you've got in your hand. You know, some people have stepped up, they were part of the tent yesterday, who were actually speaking prophetic words over people, and for many of us we think, I couldn't do that. That's difficult. I'm not sure I can do that. But look what you have in your hand. About 3 years ago, I felt I really wanted to take some of the Christian songs that I was singing and just walk into a pub and sing them and see what happened. I did that. The pub owner said, come back and do a gig. 2.5 hours. I had 4 songs. But I said, okay, let me think about that. I got hold of a PA that I could borrow. I went in and I did some music. And I started doing 1 or 2 of those. Then kind of the pub lost its license and closed down and then rechanged and they weren't doing open mic nights anymore. I then had another opportunity when we were doing Just Walk Across the Room. Who remembers that course?
Yeah.
And the thing that impressed me was that Bill Hybels, who is this American, for those that weren't aware of this course, he's a minister in a big church in America, but he wanted to join a dinghy sailing club. And whereas I'd wanted to go in and sort of make an impression with what I wanted to do with music, he was going into this dinghy club just to be part of the team. And it impressed me that it took 7 years for the first contact that he had there to become a Christian, and 10 years to get the guy he was really after, who was the club leader. And so I then thought, it's time for me to actually do this again. And I started to go out and do open mic nights, but not with the intent of going in with loads of Christian content, going in and just saying, every time I sing, I will do 1 Christian song minimum. And the doors opened, and I started doing a number of open mics in the area. I then had an opportunity where I was considering doing an open mic, popping in to see this pub and saying, do you do them? She said, no, but I haven't got anything planned in November. Would you like to run one? Okay. At this point in time, I was considering, do I buy a PA? And I'd been offered one at a very good price. And I thought, another green light, another door's opened. We stepped through that. And I now run an open mic at the Ark pub on the last Friday of the month. So if anyone's free and would like to come, there's a number to come. But that'll be on Friday night. The Ark is in Ray Street, if you know that, behind the Domino's. We start about 9:30, finishes about 2 in the morning normally. So it's pretty good. Last week I sang at Norton Farm. Yesterday I sang at the festival. Doors just keep opening. Now, you've already said you find it hard. You've already said you kind of feel a pressure. It's a point where you take a decision to take that intention and say, I'm going to take 1 step with what I've got in my hand. And as I took that step, God opens a door. Walk through that door. Another door opens. Walk through that door. I'm not being overtly Christian in what I do. I do a lot of covers. I do a lot of popular songs, a lot of old songs, actually, many of them. But it engages with people. And I now find that a lot of people on the circuit, one guy says, I'm an ex-United Reform guy, he said. And he just had a stroke. He took away my CD. He's listened to it. He liked what he heard. We have occasional conversations. Another guy, do you know what? I used to be a youth leader in a church. He said, there's a lot of people on the circuit that used to be. And one guy, totally not in a church or anything else, hadn't said a word to him. Sat down next to him the other day, and he suddenly became very defensive. Do you know what? I don't really believe in all this God stuff. And proceeded for the next 15 minutes to tell me why he didn't believe in God. I hadn't said a word to him. So I want to encourage you that actually doing some of these things, yeah, it takes a bit of courage. It takes a bit of saying, I'm going to actually make that step. Someone said that the road to hell is full of good intentions. Not sure what I think about that, but it's a phrase. But make that intention count by taking a step with what you've got in your hand. That might be making pastries, and you give it to the lady next door, and out of that you get a relationship. It might be doing cross-stitch and sharing in a group that does cross-stitch. It might be totally unrelated to church, but take a step, and take a step with intention, because God will open the doors, and He's continuing to open doors.
To share. what you're saying about taking steps.
Some of you might know about Bob because I've been planning my way for a while. A week ago Thursday, I decided it's time to do something about it. Now, I was going, I rang up my best friend Tina, said, can you come with me? I want to go to Slimming World. Now, Thursday, I went to Slimming World, and they gave me all the literature, and I thought, I'd do all this. And then for the first week, I lost 7 pounds. Ooh. So I thought, if we're going to a little bit of literature, and even like through the church, if you give out some leaflets, and they can work with it, and you can get good results, and you can.
It's good to see you.
Hello. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking at the prayer board, and it said magpie on there. Well, where I work, because I'm a gardener, and my boss has got this cage, and he was catching magpies, and so another bird was coming into the cage, and he would kill the bird. And I didn't say nothing, and every day I went to work, I wanted to let the bird go. And so I prayed and prayed, and just last week, he says, oh, I've let the bird go. And he said, could you move the cage for me? Yes. So I did. Yeah. So it's amazing.
Persistence prayer. I've been in a situation similar where I stood and prayed against a witchcraft shop, and eventually it shut. Amen. But it doesn't happen immediately, does it? You've got to be persistent.
Yeah.
Well done. Q? Who's the Q?
Good morning, everybody. Just a little, this week I was very, fortunate. I went to get, I just finished an MA earlier in the year, and I went to my graduation ceremony in Liverpool. And before I was going, I was thinking, is it really worth it? Well, I thought I went to Liverpool to just get a handshake and go and stuff. And but no, I'll do it because I've done all the work. I'll pat myself on the back. But actually, I have to say, the celebrate, you know, the actual ceremony was done so well. It was just that they had like a trumpet fanfare for the chancellor to come in, and just some really fantastic speakers. They provided food, but you know, in the sitting in that context and just watching it happen, it just made me think. You know, it was actually the trumpet fanfare and this welcome of these people. And I just thought, you know, this is so like heaven. This is God. You know, there is that for each of us. There is that huge welcome and a fanfare of welcome for us. And it sort of made me think of it. You know, just like, I think it's in Hebrews, it talks about there's this great crowd of witnesses watching us and cheering for us, and it says it's talking about discipline, but in this context I just sort of see it says you don't come to a you know, like this fiery mountain of fear, and it talks about trumpet blast, but it's more of a, you know, a fear trumpet blast, a warning. But he said, actually, you come to, you know, a place of love. Actually, this is, it's not about a hard, you know, mountain of fire, and it's, you know, it's all about judgment of us. Where we come to is a place of grace, of love, of kindness, of people cheering for us. And I think that's the context in which what we're doing today, and we're going out into the community of Maidenhead, is actually we're coming with that message that we've experienced ourselves, that actually God loves us, he thinks we're fantastic, he cheers for us, he wants us to, you know, to find our place in him and in who he is. And there's that cheer there. And into that as well, I've sort of done things in our local schools of and done prayer spaces, and spent, you know, some of the children have done it 4 times, and the school that we've been in is a Church of England school, so there's a lot of prayer and thing that goes on. And this week on the last day, my son's finished at the school, so he had some friends around to swim in our pool, and one of the boys actually he fainted and he went under the water, and we were there thankfully, and we pulled him out, but he just had to come out of the faint part of it. But one of the boys, actually, who said to Sam he doesn't really believe in God, but actually what his automatic thing was to pray. And I thought that was really, I mean, in telling me that, I just thought, you know, in the context of what we're building into people's lives, is actually that hope is that place of access into the presence of God. And I think, you know, there must have been some angels around, because it could have been quite very different, this context. So that thankfully didn't happen. But, you know, but actually we were, they were watching out. We're watching out for people's lives and hearts. And, you know, that's what we're about when we go out into our communities and take those risks. It's actually, you know, it's about, because we care for people, we want them to know how much Father God loves them and how Jesus can change their life and the Holy Spirit. You know, all of that, because that's our motivation. So it was a bit of a sweeping thing, but to try and bring everything in. But it is so well done for all those guys being out there in the street and down at the thing, because I'm sure today there's going to be even more people and lives touched. But thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Please bear with me, I'm really nervous. I just want to thank the Lord for his provision for myself and my husband and my little boy. We started off married life in a tiny, pokey, one-bedroom flat. A cot was in the lounge. I had a postnatal depression. And I actually had a SOZO appointment in the new year, in the January. And one of the girls said to me, I see that a new house is being built for you as we speak. And I thought, really? Should I believe her? Really? A new build? And literally within 2 months, we were offered a brand new two-bedroom spacious flat, and we've been there just over a year now. And I'd just like to say thank you, Lord. Since we've been there, you know, I've been able to reach out to our neighbours. You know, we've got really good friends there. And I've also plucked up the courage within the last couple of months to invite two of my friends here to River. One of them has been already, but she was very emotional and quite embarrassed that she was crying throughout the whole, you know, service. So she's a bit, she was very embarrassed about that. I sit and I pray with her, and I really think that we're making a breakthrough with her. My other friend is about to get married, so she said, once I'm married, I've got all that out of the way, which I know how that feels, I will come with you. So, you know, I really feel as if I'm turning the corner.
Two, yeah, I think so.
I got on the wrong bus the other day, and just when I was at the bus stop, there was an Asian chap there, so I just said, where are you going? You look a bit lost. And he didn't know his way around, because he was from India, and he was just looking after the grandchild. And then we just got talking about River Church, and I said, are your family Christian? And they were all Christians. And I was trying to reach out to him and tell him a bit of the story, my background. And he was just very happy, and he was just willing to receive what I had to say. And then we just went our separate ways. But I said, hopefully one day you'll come to Christ. And I just said, I pray for a breakthrough to happen in your life.
I'm Neil here, I'm Cornelius, and I live in Spain, but originally from the Netherlands. It's really encouraging to hear all those testimonies, because it's good to share also to people as well. And what I want to say is, when people don't see immediately sort of breakthroughs, it seeds planted in people's lives, and the Holy Spirit can breathe from that, and sort of, you know, quite often other people where God shows in visions and dreams, people, you know, the truth as well, isn't it? So, and I've seen that over and over again. I've actually studio, hair studio, and above my sign, above the entree, it says, miracles happen here. And so when people say, oh, well, yeah, that's nice, I like to have a miracle, and I think, yeah, you don't know what you get into. But, you know, it's like, I see so many breakthroughs, healing miracles, people touched, you know, from crying, from healed, emotional healing, and it's one of those things that, yeah, God shows himself, isn't it? He wants to reach out so much to everybody. So, yeah, a life of miracles. And it's great to be in a house of miracles as well, because, yeah, love it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for visiting us today. It's great. Pat, I'll come to you.
We went down to the festival yesterday, which was fantastic. In fact, in the evening, you probably went home by then. They had a band that had been in Jersey Boys. They were really good. But I had a friend with me whose husband's got Parkinson's and dementia, and he is really, really bad. And we came up to your tent, and the one thing she kept saying is, but I'm not worthy. Because she knows how she's not coping with it. How she feels she should cope. But you know, I actually spoke to her afterwards because she wouldn't have prayer. And she said, it goes back to when I was a child and on my school reports it said, could do better. And I said, but you are doing better. How would we all cope with the situation that you're in? And we can see the situation you're in. We've known them for, say, 30 years. She is really struggling. So I did actually talk to her and to pray with her. And say to her that God sees her heart and he doesn't feel that she is unworthy. And that's what I think she didn't want the prayer because she felt she wasn't worthy. So it's a case of, as Cornelia said, sowing a small seed and just letting her know that prayer can help. And that's what I said.
I'll do this as a proxy. Right. Any more for anyone? Richard?
Sometimes I just sort of need a bit of personal time or lonely time, just a bit, being a bit introverted. But I just took some time out to walk outside into the car park and met a family who'd just driven in and were parked up there. They live on the flats that we can see across the back there, and their football had come over the fence, and they just needed permission to come in and find their... It was a quality football that had been given by somebody from the Euro football games recently. And walking across Hindu family, and from Tamil Nadu, from South India, which always resonates with me because I was born in Kerala in South India, and just to have... To sort of explain, we're a Christian church here, exchanged mobile numbers, so I'll go along to their cultural day in September, and hopefully they'll come along to the Larkshire Festival beginning of September.
Amen. So I'm just really encouraged this morning. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've sat in so many Testament Sunday meetings and just gone, oh, nobody's got anything to say. I'm not sure. I mean, if maybe it's thinking about churches I've been back in Brisbane, but seriously, it's the kind of thing you go, Testimony Sunday this Sunday, right, what else have we got to do? I don't want to go to that. But I'm really encouraged. I mean, we've just got stories and stories and stories, really exciting things, and I just want to add my little story. So I've been asking God for opportunities and... So I was at work and I just, something caught my eye. I was talking to a lady and it just sort of caught my eye. She had a limp and it's not like me to notice these sort of small things. I'm sort of encouraged that I'm starting to see needs. But I was talking to her and she's got serious problems with the back. She's going in for an operation to get a disc removed. She's like two months old. And so we were talking and I was just asking how it had to go. And just as she was about to leave, I managed to push myself to say, can I pray for you? And she was like, yeah, that'd be nice. And I said, shall we pray now? And the look of terror on her face, it's like, you want to pray with me now? I thought you were just going to go and pray like in a nice, polite way. So I got to pray for her, and that was very encouraging. But I'm just, I guess, excited to be given opportunities and seeing needs, seeing things that trigger, hang on, something's going on there, I can pray into it.
Yeah, you're born of risk.
Hello, yeah.
Do you want to... Oh, you don't know already? Alec used to be a member of the church. Some time ago, we used to pray together regularly.
7 years ago, we moved over to Wallingford, and it's great to come back just for today, see what's going on, and to hear what you're doing, especially as that many of you have no clue who you are. It's exciting. It means that in the last 7 years, you've joined the church here. On the other hand, there's some other folk who I know only too well, like Steve. We used to pray great together. We go back to many years there. And there's one over in the corner there. He go back even further. How old was it when we first came to Maidenhead, Scott?
1966.
66. Yep, that was the year we got married. And you, Scott, just as a kid. He was just a kid then. So to hear what he's doing is great. And as you know, some of you know that we were on the leadership team here. But I've got a verse for you, hearing what's going on. My dear friends, I love you so much, I want the very best for you. This is Paul in Philippians saying, you make me feel such joy, fill me with such pride, don't waver, stay on track, steady in God. And I believe that's a verse for you today, especially with what you're doing in the park there, which is tremendous. Stay on track. But at the same time, God is really pleased with you. That's not just me saying that. I am as well. And Linda would agree with me with that. It's great. And it's a bit tough over in Wallingford at present. I won't go into the details there. But one of the things which is I need to do a ball in a minute, but just explain that we've lived next door to our next door neighbour for the last 7 years, and he nursed his wife. He's 80 years old now. He nursed his wife through cancer, and she died. And I could never talk to him. Every time I start bringing anything up about Jesus or God, there's a complete blanking. And his wife died. They had a humanist wedding, funeral. And oh dear, how am I going to get through that? Just last month, he had problems with his eyes, and he wanted to get eye drops in. He's by himself, so didn't want to get the family. His family local, but he didn't want to bother them. So I said, "Well, I'll put the drops in. You can do that. That's quite easy to do." So for a month, I went in there every night at 9 o'clock to put these eye drops in for him. And I said, "Lord, I nearly need to talk to him. Get a breakthrough here. You know, there's nothing here." And then suddenly, just one evening, I told him some stories, because he was telling me stories about his National Service days and all the things that he'd done. And I thought, okay, I'd tell you some stories. This is what God's done in my life. But I just didn't say it was God. I just sort of talking about my brothers and I won't go into the details there, but some of the stories of what God has done in our family. And I told him just as a stories. And he started listening. And he woke up to one or two of them. Now, that's just the start. You know, said about praying, being persistent. We need to be persistent with him. Yeah. But there's a really good relationship with him. We also get lots of little bantam eggs. He keeps bantams in his garden, so we're well supplied with bantam eggs. But I took him over some potatoes the other day, and he was sort of just grateful to receive these things. Before, he was very closed, but now there's that relationship going. So we're going to pray for him. And this ball, it's for Dave. Thanks. Bless you all. Great to be here.
Thank you. So, can we say something? Hello. Is it good? I'll let visitors come in talking. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi, my name is Mary. I'm from South Africa. I've been here now 2 weeks. And I just want to tell you how amazing God is. And my husband, he's still in South Africa with our little boy, Liam. And many years ago, before I got pregnant, we had difficulty falling pregnant. He said, we're going to move overseas. He's fed up. He wants to move. And I said, okay, but I wasn't ready to do that. But our elder at that point in time told me, you need to prepare yourself, you've got to move. And so I prayed, I said, God, you need to tell me that you've got to move. And so in January 2011, he told me in Genesis 12, verse 1, you're going to move, as he told Abraham. You're going to leave your country. You're going to leave the father, your father's house. And I was like, wow. Okay. And February this year, my husband said to me, it's time. I said, okay, put my CV on the website. I'm a nurse. And 3 weeks later, I got a job. And moved 2 weeks ago. So God is faithful. We didn't do it in our own strength. We gave it to our elders at our church, told them to please pray for us. I told them I got word, but we need to know from them, is it from God or is it a personal thing? And it was from God. It is from God. So we're still praying for some things, a school for our child, a childminder, a house, as we're living with my brother, as I'm living with my brother at the moment, but I feel blessed. So, thank you.
Well, thank you, everyone.